The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The dominion of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other young women came also, saying, 'Sir, sir, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Today's gospel is really hard. I sat with it, I tried to enter into it, I tried to understand it, and ultimately it just conveys an image of God that is not really compatible with me. So, and I know scripture has really hard messages for us sometimes, but I'm going to leave interpreting the lamp story up to the inimitable Pastor Carey. Hopefully when you're ordained, you are struck with the lightning of the message more than I am as a seminarian. Let justice roll on like a mighty river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. These words have been imprinted on my heart since singing them in choir as a teenager. As I've gotten older, they've been a comfort to me when I see insurmountable injustices that only God can fix. I believe, and I think we believe, that God holds the power to envelop the horrors of this world and resurrect them into something better. But that feels like a faraway concept oftentimes, doesn't it? Amos was a shepherd that Yahweh called to prophecy. In his time, the people of Israel had been claimed by God, but were not following God's ways, so Amos's job was to call them out. The Israelites had to worry not only about reprehension from the surrounding nations, but also about the swift justice of Yahweh's hand. Theologian Martin Buber has said that the concept of justice and righteousness from which Amos pulled was always related to divine activity in pre-exilic times. With that in mind, he said that the divine righteousness desires to continue its operation in a human righteousness, and humanity's fate depends on whether they submit to this will or deny it. In that way, justice and righteousness is a gift from God, which requires our response, either mobilizing us toward God's life-giving presence or overtaking us in the floods of judgment. We today are not always living in truth and love. Would that we could always act as Christ would act and forgive as Christ forgives. We can expect then that God's hand will come to execute justice in our midst today, but where and how? Amos was just one man, but his legacy of the pursuit of justice is incredible. We too are just individuals. How do you see yourself in the pursuit of justice? Do you feel like more of a follower, or do you feel called to stand up like Amos did? It is so easy to blame the institutions around us as the main perpetrators of harm in our world. Indeed, corporations produce the most environmental pollutants. The richest 1% hoard 50% of the world's monetary resources, and our government funds causes that don't align with our values. But institutions are made up of individuals and have been taken down by individuals. How do we acknowledge our responsibility in the pursuit of justice? Maybe with our giving, with our votes, our volunteer hours, with our relationships and our workplaces, and even just in our families. Every day there are opportunities for actionable items in our lives, and And we must reach out to God's compassionate extended hand to foster divine righteousness in the world. Because of the incarnation, God fully human and fully divine, we know that salvation is offered to us, and that frees us to serve our neighbor, to stop worrying so much about ourselves and look around to help others along the way. That is a big part of Luther's freedom of a Christian that he loved so much. Life's biggest injustices may make up the mighty rivers, but many small injustices also comprise the never-ending stream. And you probably noticed that the notion of justice that Amos imparts is not exactly a happy homecoming. We get images of a stormy God who flips more than just tables and says that the day of the Lord is darkness. Sometimes paving the way for goodness is messy and doesn't feel good. And yet it must happen. We are still called to be vessels of Christ and to help make it happen. It may take a little creativity at times, but resistance can happen in small ways from the inside out, maybe with a little boundary pushing. So I invite you to consider today where you see injustice in your life during the week, and also to consider how you might respond to help bring about God's vision for the world, much like Amos did. As we enter the holiday season, maybe you donate an extra bag of cat food to the animal shelter, or bring some cider to someone who's ill, or volunteer with the Harvard Square Homeless Shelter in our very own building. When we do these things, we don't necessarily say, "I'm doing this for justice." We say we do it because we can and we should, and it brings relief and positivity. But in God's eyes, it's still bringing about righteousness and fulfilling a responsibility to the neighbor, and that is something we can relish. I would like to leave you with a poem from Margaret Walker, a Black Yale poet who lived through the KKK's Birmingham bombings. It is titled Amos 1963. Amos is a shepherd of suffering sheep, a pastor preaching in the depths of Alabama, preaching social justice to the Southland, preaching to the poor a new gospel of love, with the words of a God and the dreams of a man. Amos is our loving shepherd of the sheep, crying out to the stricken land, "You have sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. My God is a mighty avenger, and he shall come with his rod in his hand." Preaching to the persecuted and the disinherited millions, preaching love and justice to the solid southern land, Amos is a prophet with a vision of brotherly love, with a vision and a dream of the red hills of Georgia, when justice shall roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Amos is our shepherd standing in the shadow of our God, tending his flocks all over the hills of Albany and the seething streets of Selma and of bitter Birmingham. In Margaret Walker's resistance, she accepted the call to divine righteousness through human righteousness. Will you do the same? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, send your spirit upon us that we may answer your call to pursue the good, no matter how hard the road may be. Trusting in your everlasting mercy and grace, this we pray. Amen.